Hello, Apostolic Insiders. Welcome to the Staples household. It is the third Sunday of Lent, and I have 3 points once again this week. I want to begin with a very long gospel reading there from John chapter 4, but I want to focus on a particular truth that I think is a thread that is interwoven throughout the readings for this Sunday, and that is God's love and mercy is really mind-boggling. Remember, Luke, we talked about one of my favorite verses from the Old Testament, Lamentations 3, 22 through 24, right? The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Beautiful text of scripture in the context, of course, of Israel being taken into bondage by the Babylonians and such, that a beautiful light of mercy in the midst of tremendous suffering in the lives of the people of God. Well, in a sense, the readings this week are all about this. God's mercy, God's love. Think about it. Let's focus in on the Samaritan woman at the well. Remember, the apostles had just come on a long journey. They arrive, and of course, they didn't have cars, Rose. Didn't have airplanes. Everything was on foot. And they get there. They're exhausted. The apostles go into town to get some food. Jesus is there alone. And he sits down near the well at Sychar, which is a town in Samaria. And he strikes up a conversation with the Samaritan woman. And we've probably all heard of just how radical that is in and of itself. In fact, the Samaritan woman is shocked. Why are you talking to me, right? And there's a twofold reason for that. One is a rabbi would never speak with a woman in public. And secondly, a Jew would never speak with a Samaritan. The Samaritans were dogs to them, right? They were half-breeds, half-Jew, half-pagan, and they were despised by the Jews. So she is rocked. She's shocked. Why are you speaking with me? Jews have no dealings with us. And in particular, Jesus asks her, give me a drink. But they're unclean. Jews don't ask a Samaritan to give them a drink because they're considered unclean. So this is a mind blower, but what is it? This is Jesus Christ revealing the mercy of God. Now, we just watched last night one of the Chosen series, right? And for you insiders, if you haven't seen them, they are very good. They have their flaws, but they are very good. But remember the shock when a leper comes on the scene and all the apostles are like, get away from us and so forth. And Jesus just walks right toward him and touches him and heals him. I mean, this is the mercy of God in action. God, and remember, the lepers and those that are unclean are types of sin, right? And we tend to excise sinners, those terrible sinners. Think about this Samaritan woman, married five times. What do we say about people like that? Oh, they're evil, right? That's not what Jesus says. Jesus invites her to come and be healed. Jesus invites the leper to come and be healed. He invites sinners to come and be healed. But think about this, right? So the woman is shocked, number one, that Jesus is even speaking to her. But Jesus does what he starts with. Give me a drink of water, which rocked her, right? But then he takes the conversation deeper. He says, go call your husband, right? And she says sheepishly, well, I don't have a husband. He says, yeah, right. You've had five husbands and the man you're living with now is not your husband. So here in the midst of this radical manifestation of God's mercy, Jesus doesn't pull any punches. He also points out the sin in the life of the woman. Why? Because in order to be healed, you have to acknowledge your sin, right? And she does. And she says, basically, I perceive that you are a prophet, right? And as a result of this encounter with Jesus, She is so transformed that she goes back to her town and she tells everybody about Jesus and ends up bringing them to Jesus, and they become believers as well. This is a powerful story. John chapter 4, I believe, is there this Sunday for us, because this is an example of, you know what, guys? It doesn't, this might sound a little shocking. The type of sin is really not what is most important when we're coming to God, if we're going to confess. Now, of course, some sins are more grave than others, right? Even among mortal sins, some are worse than others. But what I'm saying is, it doesn't matter how many sins you or anyone have on their souls, because Jesus loves us. As the reading from Romans says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, right? All he wants is for us to say, I am sorry, and come to him, and he will transform us from the inside out. However, this leads me to my second point. Why do we have the reading from Exodus 17, our first reading this week, the famous text from the rebellion in the wilderness, when the children of God hardened their hearts against Moses and against God at Massah and Meribah? Why? Why would that reading be with this reading from the gospel? Because in the gospel, of course, the woman is a terrible sinner, but she opens her heart and she's transformed. And yet, in Exodus 17, the people of God are rebellious. Why would we have these readings? Well, my friends, basically the next two points I'm going to make sum up the entirety of the spiritual life, our lives as Catholic Christians. What do I mean by that? Well, at Exodus 17, what do we see? We see the Israelites were just liberated from Egypt, which, of course, again, is another symbol of being in the darkness and degradation of sin. They were in slavery for 400 years, and God not only redeems them, right? That's what the Passover is all about. He sets them free, miraculously, the 10 plagues on Egypt, miracle after miracle, right? He sets them free. They go out into the wilderness, and what happens? They fall back into sin, right? But yeah, that's us. I mean, we have the miracle of the sacrament. Of course, baptism is the fulfillment of all that, you know, Noah, we saw in recent weeks, was a type of. The slavery and bondage in Egypt is a type of. We're liberated from sin. But what happens? They fall back. And think about this. They are deceived. What the inspired author of the Hebrews in chapter 3, which we're going to read in a moment, talks about the deceitfulness of sin. They had been set free from the bondage of Egypt. Now they go out into the wilderness and they're tested by God. But what do they say? They say, you know, why did you take us out of Egypt? Right? To die of thirst. And they were thirsty. They're in the desert, folks. And in their defense, they had no water. They were out of water. They're out in the desert. It's scorching hot, and there's no water anywhere in sight, and they begin to lose their faith. They say, why did you? In other words, we want to go back to Egypt. Yeah, we were in slavery and all, but at least we had water, right? They had forgotten the degradation of slavery, which is what happens in our lives. We forget the degradation of sin. Sin becomes enticing. We want to go back to Egypt. We want to go back to the sin. But that sin leads to what? Bondage and slavery and misery. But this is what happens, right? They test the Lord. In fact, that's why this area is called Massah and Meribah. In Hebrew, Massah means quarreling, and Meribah means testing. And in fact, the psalm in Psalm 95, now think about this. Psalm 95 is written about 500 years later. Psalm 95 refers back. And in fact, in the psalm that we sang the refrain, right, guys? Yeah. What was it? If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. That is a reference back to Exodus chapter 17 for the people of God during David's time. 500 years later, we tend to do the same thing. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Don't harden your hearts as they did at Massa and Meribah and tested the Lord. Because, my friends, that is the most dangerous thing we can do, is tempt and test the Lord. Because when we go down that road, we are revealing a lack of faith and a spirit of rebelliousness, which leads me to my third and final point. Why the reading from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5 in this context, our reading from St. Paul? In Romans chapter 5, St. Paul says, having been justified by faith, right? We've been liberated from Egypt, liberated from sin, right? Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And hope never disappoints because of the love of God that is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. This sums up the spiritual life, my friends. We have been set free through the sacrament of baptism. And through baptism, we are incorporated into Christ. And then we receive an increase and perfecting of that grace through confirmation and the Eucharist that gives us access to the grace of God wherein we stand. And we stand today. I want you to notice today, and I'm going to read from Hebrews here in a second. The inspired author actually puts the words today in quotation marks, because today refers to Exodus 17, 3,500 years ago. It refers to Psalm 95, 3,000 years ago. And it refers to today, right now. If today you will hear his voice, because God is calling to all of us. The same way he called to the Samaritan woman, stood right in front of her, called out her sins, and called her to mercy. He calls us today the same way that God called to the Israelites and spoke to them through Moses. And here's the cool part. Think about how they were rebellious. Even after all the miracles, they were rebelling against God. And what does God do? He gives them another miracle. I mean, this is the mercy of God. Even though they had such responsibility, right? We talk about Luke 12:48, right? To whom much given, much is given, much is required. I mean, my goodness, they just saw the miraculous power of God in ways, oh my gosh, right? And they're rebelling, and yet what does God do? He gives them another miracle. Moses strikes the rock, and water gushes forth enough to give all of them drink, even in the midst of their rebellion. And this is the message for us today, is that we have been justified, and as a result of that, we have access to this grace. However, I'm going to end with a warning. Because in Hebrews chapter 3, now this is not one of the readings, although I think it really could have been this Sunday. Because Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7, I want you to notice how the inspired author refers to this very text from Psalm 95, our psalm, and from Exodus chapter 17 when he says this. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today when you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness, where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked with that generation and said, they always go astray in their hearts. They have not known my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall never enter my rest. The reason why they could not see the Holy Land, right? They could not see that land flowing with milk and honey was because of the rebellion. Even though God gave them the miracle, he did punish them. But listen to verse 12. Take care, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. but exhort one another every day as long as it is called today. And there the inspired author puts today in quotation marks. He's talking about, of course, Exodus 17, which at this time would have been 1,500 years roughly before. He's referring to the psalm who repeats that today, again, 500 years later. And now the inspired author here is repeating that word today for his audience. But exhort one another every day as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we share in Christ if only we hold our first confidence firm to the end. While it is said today, when you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. This is the most dangerous thing in our spiritual lives, the hardening of our hearts. Remember, Luke, we started by saying the mercy of the Lord is never in question. And you need to know this, Luke. We all need to know this. The mercies of the Lord are without end. Lamentations 3, 22 through 24. We see it in Psalm 118, Psalm 136, right? The mercy of the Lord is forever and ever. The steadfast love of the Lord is forever and ever. The mercy of the Lord is never in question. But what can happen is our hearts can become hardened through the deceitfulness of sin to where we can no longer open ourselves up to the mercy of God. And that's why sin is such a fearsome and awful force in this world. Sin destroys our ability to be able to receive the mercy of God. But the good news is, even in the midst of the rebellion, God will always perform a miracle. He'll break a rock open if he has to, and water, the Holy Spirit will flood out. But that doesn't mean we should ever be presumptuous when it comes to sin, because sin can, in fact, ultimately end in our demise as well. God bless you.